Dalit pasuk yudeis gan nuul achoisi chalo gal nuul mayon chosum. There are three parts. There are three parts to this pasuk. There is the gan, the garden. The gan is sealed nuul. My sister, the kala gal. Gal is another word for a fountain. It's a fountain. Again, gan was a garden. Gal is a fountain. If you look in the Mitzvah Sion, he says gal is mayon. Kulois hamayim, like the fountains of water. Gal no'ul, a mayon is another word, this poetic repetition. The mayon is a poetic repetition for the word gal, chosum is sealed. Okay, let's see the mitzudos David. Gan no'ul, ato choyze l'shabcha bidvar hatznius. This pasuk is describing in detail the midah of tznius that the kala has. V'choyoymar, and so he says. So the pasuk says to the kala. Hare at kegan no hanul, you, my kal, are like a gan, a garden that is no'ul. She'ein miyucha lovei boy, no one is able to enter. You're a garden, the garden has a fence around it, has a lock. No one is allowed to enter this garden. Ki'in bal hagan, the only one that is allowed to enter is the owner. Ki kol kach loy ta'azoy v'smi logesha selecha, because you are insistent that you should not be abandoned to allow anyone just to come and enter and step upon this orchard, except for the owner, the Baal HaBayis. Gal no'ul, at no'ul kimayun hano'ul, you also, my kala, you are like a fountain which is closed. Kiloy he'era mibach lekalkel v'lishbar habesulim. The word he'era in the Gemara is a very common word. It means tachilas bia. It means, in reference to marital relations, it means the initial stage of marital relations. So here it says no one has tampered with you, no one has made any physical contact with you whatsoever. Lekalkel l'lishbar habesulim, to go and take away your besulim. Hariat no, it's another expression, you are sealed. In other words, over here, gan is a fountain. A woman's fountain is a code word for her erva. And therefore she is closed to the entire world except for her husband. And the third expression, mayon chosum, kofal hadava b'mila shanis, is seemingly the same exact thing as what it means over here, the gal no'ul. We have here poetic repetition. Kofal hadava b'mila shanis, v'hanim sholhu, what is the theme over here in all three parts of the pasuk? Al harchokas, harchoka min oivdei koychavim mazolos. So he, the mitzvah seems to say over here is that at the end of the pasuk, at least the last part of the pasuk is a reference to avodah zarah umazolos. Even though in the beginning of the pasuk the mitzvah seem to be saying that it's a reference to tznius. So I guess they all come together, because we know that arayos is just a mashal for avodah zarah. And the basic theme over here is we're dealing with the isha, we're dealing with klal isha, and we're called a gan. We're a garden, and no one has access to us other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, Klal Yisrael, they guard themselves in regard to the laws of Arayos, do not allow their wives to stray and have relations with other men, and the men do not have relations with other women. And that's what we're called over here, a gan, a garden, a ol, and then we're called a fountain. The gal is the fountain, the ol, mayim chasum, two different terms which mean reference to a woman's erva. Let's see Rashi, pasuk beis, gan, no ol, al shem tznius. He starts out here the same way the mitzvah started out. We're discussing here the meaning of tznius. Binos, yishol, shem partzos, barayos. Promiscuous. Okay, they are not promiscuous. This is the midah of Klal Yisrael. Gal no'ul yesh l'farshoi loshon mayon. What does the mean the word gal? So first he translates it like the mitzvah, so it means a fountain. Kemoi gulois elios, like the upper fountains. The upper fountains and the lower fountains. The yesh l'farshoi loshon shar. And in the second interpretation it says that you are a closed gate. A closed gate, and that has the advantage, if we translate the word gal as a gate, that has the advantage that we do not have the poetic repetition. We have three parts of the pasuk that describe three completely different things. A garden that is off limits, a gate that is sealed, and a fountain that is sealed. three different themes, three different ideas, and Rashi proves the word gal means a gate. From the word v'hi lashon arami, it is a Aramaic word. Here the pasuk in Shir Hashem is borrowing from the Aramaic language. The Talmud, in the Gemara, we find the word taroku galei, open up the gate. The gates have been opened. Galei, taroku means, other way around, sorry, I think taroku means to seal. Taroku means to seal, to close. Galei are the gates. The galei are the slam the door, to seal, to slam, to close. Galei are the gates. So three, what?
That's an Aramaic.
Aramaic, right. So that has, so we have an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage is that it's not going to be repetition because it says the word mayu, and mayu means a fountain. So if it says a fountain, so why then we want to say again, gal? But the disadvantage, so therefore the advantage is saying the word means a gate. But the disadvantage of saying it means the gate means we're going to have an Aramaic word in the pasuk that is all Lashon Kodesh. Okay, so that's the, so therefore the same, pretty much the same. I think we're dealing over here with the theme of Tznius. Now let's see the Targum. Pasuk Yud Beis. The Targum says, Unishayich dimis nasban legovrin, your wives that are married to your husbands, tsinion kininpei tsinia. Again, we have this theme, they are tsanua, like the ninpei tsinia, uchaginto de edin, and like here we have an entirely new idea. Targum is injecting into the pasuk, and it's a little bit off the topic, but he's saying it's you're like gan edin, that your wives, uchaginto de edin, it's like they're like gan edin, the less reshu legvar lemeil legava. No one has permission to enter Gan Eden, Elohein, except Tzadikaya, the righteous, Denaf Shoshoin Mishtalchin Legava, whose neshamos are dispatched, are sent within. No one could just walk into Gan Eden. You have to be actually sent into Gan Eden. You have to have a pass to get there. Alide, who's the one that sends you and who's going to escort you in? Alide Malachaya. The Malachaya, only through the angels. Ubisulosayich. Okay, so here we started mentioning your wives. A married woman, she is off limits. The only one that has access to the married woman are their husbands. Just like, what's the analogy? I mean, it's bizarre as you can get. Who would think of comparing the relationship between a man and a wife and expressing the idea that no man is allowed to have access to a woman other than her husband, just like no human being is allowed to enter into Gan Eden unless you have an explicit pass from the Malachim to get into Gan Eden. Isn't that a very...
It's not a pass.
Well, by getting married to that's your permission. I mean, like you can give a million examples of different things. You only have permission to get into the palace unless a person. Only can come into the palace, you come to Achashverosh, unless you're invited. I mean, you can give so many different examples of things where people do not have right to come unless you have explicit permission. After all of the different things you can come up with, the Targum says a married woman is exclusive to her husband, just like a neshama can enter Gan Eden. To enter Gan Eden, you have to have explicit permission from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you'll be sent there by the Malachim. So to a married woman, the only one that can come near her is her husband. That is the analogy.
Why does the Targum have to emphasize it so much? It seems obvious.
It seems obvious.
Is it?
Well, why are you laughing so hard? There.
That's why you call your wife the Shumala.
Okay, in the world it's not so obvious today, unfortunately. But it's a very interesting thing over here, and how do we know that? How did the Targum know to make this very bizarre analogy? Because of the word Gan. And Stam Gan, what is the ultimate garden in the world? Okay, the ultimate garden is Gan Eden. So therefore, since the pasuk here is Achosi Chala, we're dealing over here with the Chala, with the bride, the wife, the Ninpei Tsuniya, that's the wife. So this is the analogy that we're suggesting. Okay, then we go to part two of the pasuk. Part two, we're not dealing with a wife, a married, we're dealing with a woman who is a young woman who is not married, a Basula. And the second part says, Uvisulo Sayich. Your young maidens who are not married, Timiron Uginizon Be'an Palyon. They are are guarded, they're locked up, they're put away in Geniza, they're waiting for their chosen to come. The translation, the word Tamir means they're hidden away, Ugeniza, yeah. two words which mean to be put away, and the Anpalion means
substitute a shin for a test many times.
Which word?
In Tamiran,
okay.
Example.
Shomar, it's like to be guarded, Ugenizin, and they're put away, Be'anpalion. And what's Ben-Palion? In a chamber. Ben-Palion here in my translation, he translates it as a cheder lefnim, an inner chamber. In other words, they're off limits, no access. The chasimon, and they are sealed, b'chein, and they are sealed then. B'chein always means, it's a very common word in the Targum, oz, then. They are sealed at that moment in time in their life. Kemabua demayin chayin, denofek mitchois ilana. Like a spring of living water, which comes forth from beneath the tree. Now here it goes a little bit further, and it's said, now he's continuing this analogy of Gan Eden, and it's very, very interesting how he comes to this idea. Umisparash li arbarosh reishe naharin, and like a spring of water that comes beneath the tree and spreads out in four directions. Obviously drawing from Gan Eden, v'anor yotzam Eden v'shami paresh l'bhoyol li arbaroshim, the four different channels which go and spread out to the entire world and water the entire world. Look what he says here. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not sealed this, we don't have this anywhere, this type of chazal, this is very unique. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not went and prevented the waters from, limited the waters from spreading, these four channels would flood the entire world. So these four channels would destroy the entire world. It's only because Hashem's name is etched into the source of this water. The waters do not go out and destroy the entire world. And what is this being compared to? And this is going to be compared to the Besulois. The Besulois, that's the Gal Naul Mayan Chosum. The Gal, he seems to be translating, is the spring. And the Mayon, well, how does he listen? Let's go back. Let's see exactly how he translates this. Kimabua de Mayon. A Mabua means a stream of water, but that's really what the Mayon is. I guess he's saying it, he's repeating it twice. It seems that he's following in the opinion of the Mitsudos that both the word Gal and the word Mayon mean a stream of water. And this stream of water, it's Chosum. What do you mean it's Chosum? It's Chosum with the Shem Hashem. It's sealed with Hashem's name. Because had Hashem's name not stopped the water, it would go out and flood the entire world. And the Mashal is in reference to the Besulois, to the young girls who are also closed up, waiting for time to find a husband and to be married. Okay, so this is the basic three interpretations of the pasuk. Right, that's the Shisin. But that
is the Chasima to seal the Maya.
He used Hashem's name. He threw Hashem's name and he erased Hashem's name. And they asked his Rebbe, is it permitted to erase Hashem's name in order to seal the waters? And he was told, yes. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name can be erased during peace, Ben Ish L'Ish, so certainly you can erase Hashem's name in order to save the entire world. But that's in reference to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And that was an accident. He accidentally took out the stone which from the Shisin. Here we have the four waters that are Yoytzei Migan Eden, the Nahar Yoytzei Me Eden. Okay, so it's a fascinating pasuk through Derech Pshat according to the Targum. We're dealing with the Eden of Tznius, a double Tznius, a Tznius for the married women and Tznius for the unmarried women, women that are not yet married. And they're both being compared to some degree like Gan Eden. Gan Eden, to enter Gan Eden, that's the married women. entrance, and for the women that are not married, the comparison is to the spring of water that comes out of Gan Eden, which does not destroy the entire world because Hashem's name is etched along the edge to prevent it. So too, the unmarried women, they are prevented from giving themselves over to other men because they are closed up Kaviyachal with the Shev Hashem, with the Inyan of Tznius. Now there are a few.
And
what?
And
yeah.
There were, you know, if everything were Hefker,
then the world would be destroyed. Okay, you want to go a step further? If they would allow themselves promiscuity to a degree of promiscuity, then they would destroy the entire world. Very good. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, now there are a couple of short midrashim. First of all, the midrashim here elaborates very much on two people that have given Klal Yisrael. These are, they're a team. It will be very interesting to put together all the various people who are partners in different midos that the world needs to survive. And here is one very important example. We have two people that team up. Who are they? Sarah and Yosef. Sarah is the one that is responsible that Noshim should be tsunuos. Tsunuos should not engage in arayos. And what about men? And no one said this. Everyone over here only focused on the women. What about the men? But the Medrash focused on the men. The men are called the Mayon. The men are the Mayon Chosum, the Gal and the Mayon, and that is Yosef HaTzadik. In Mitzrayim, when he was Oymed and the son of Eshes Potifar, he taught the world, he taught Klal Yisrael that when it comes to Kedusha, a man has to be Perish, a man has to be in control of his Yetzer Hara. So Sarah and Yosef are partners in teaching the world that what this Pasuk reveals, this Pasuk, a Gal No'ul, the Gan No'ul are the Noshim, because a gan is a garden into which you enter, and this is the midah of an isha. Man, there's this entrance to an isha, and with regard to a man is someone who gives forth. And therefore, the gal no'ul, mayon chosum, the liquid, which is a mushal for a flowing stream which comes forth, is the man which has been sealed to the koyach and the midos of Yosef. Now this is not a coincidence, because we know that who was the one that received the yud of Sarai? Yehoshua. And Hashem changed Sarai to Sarah. The Yud came before Hashem and complained, it's not fair that my name should be, the letter of my name should just disappear. So Hashem said, do not worry, I will append you to a tzaddik. Now there probably could have been throughout the generations thousands of tzaddikim which would have been candidates to receive the Yud of Sarai. Why was it specifically Yehoshua? Because Yehoshua is a descendant of Yosef. Yosef had Ephraim and Menashe, and Yehoshua is a descendant of Ephraim. So therefore, it's really, I'm not taking you away. I'm just rearranging. I'm putting you another part because Sarai and Yosef share in the midah of tznius that is critical for the survival of Klal Yisrael.
I don't know how this ties in. You take Yeshua, he only had girls, right?
Right, Yeshua only had girls.
Who was his wife?
Rachav. Rachav, right, okay. What was the reason why he only had girls? There was a reason why he only had girls. It says in Chazal, something happened. Okay, I don't remember. Okay, let me just see if any more midrash, if I remember.
Also,
yeah.
Of the women of the Dor of Mitzrayim.
The women of the Dor of Mitzrayim, right? That's a popular midrash that says that the Goyim, the Canaanim, would say that if the Mitzrayim were shoylet on your guf, Alachas kama v'kama, they were shoylet on your wives. If they had the power to enslave you and to do whatever they would force you to do, any work you want, so certainly they were able to freely take your wives, do whatever they wanted. And Hashem's response to that was Hashem formed all of the children of Klal Yisrael. It was l'mala miderech hateva. This Chazal say was a nes. They looked exactly like their parents, like their father. And therefore, no one can have a havina. The Egyptians obviously had distinguishing features, and there was absolutely no trace in any child in Klal Yisrael that he had any resemblance whatsoever to an Egyptian. More so than what would have normally been would normally would have been usual, because I guess there are other factors. I guess what you see living as a Goyish society, and you look around at the Goyim, what you see also has some degree of influence. The environment makes everyone somehow over years blend together, even though you may have DNA that comes from a different nation. But it was, that's what it says in the Medrash, and that's what it says in the Medrash to prove there was no promiscuity in Klal Yisrael.
We also see that because there was only one recorded exception.
Yeah.
Ben Ishmael 3. And they said that that was the exception that proved the rule.
Ben Ishmael, that was Shalamis, there was only one, it was one exception. It was one situation. Vayar ish it mitri maka ish ivri.
No, talking about later on.
In the very beginning, there was one incident. Okay, now there are just some other short ideas in this passage. First of all, the word galim sometimes means waves. It means a wave. And the Medrash says, this is Pasuk in Yeshaya, Tzahali koylech bas galim. Raise up your voice. This is the Pasuk of a song that's going to be sung in the time of Mashiach. Tzahali means cry out. Cry out with your voice, Sali, raise up your voice in song. Kolech Bas, the daughter of Galim. Bas Galim, which still means, Bas Galim means wave, all of the waves of the ocean, at this time they'll rise up in song. You go and you have from a bird's eye view, from a helicopter, plane, you see pictures of the waves. It actually looks like there's life, there's a pulse, there's some type of rhythm. There's rhythm in the waves of the ocean. It's as if they're singing. So Bas Galim means it's an expression. Bas Galim, the rhythm, the flow of the waves, this itself is an expression of song. That is the simple meaning of the pasuk. But the Medrash says Bas Galim means, now that we know that Galim here in this pasuk is a reference to Sari Imenu, because it says Gan Nool Achosi Chalo Gal Nool. Gal here we're saying means a fountain, and according to the Medrash, this refers to Sari Imenu, that she went to Mitzrayim by Paro, she refused to let Paro come near her. So therefore, the Medrash says that, let me read you the words over here. Navihu Dekamar Lo Leknes Yisrael Tzalikolech Bitoy, the daughter shall Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov. Sha'asu, the first interpretation is, okay, Sha'asu, the one that I'm jumping around over here, that the Galim is a code word for Klal Yisrael, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, Sha'asu mitzvos k'galei hayam. They did mitzvos like the waves of the sea. Okay, that's a different interpretation. And then it says, Ayin here in the Zohar HaKodesh, V'hu l'simas gal no'ul. It's a code word for Sarah. Shagodra Sari Imenu Atzma Menu Erva. And the last part of the pasuk, Mayin Shalaz Zachodim Chosom Bizchus Yosvat Sadek. The reason why in times of Mashiach, the sea, there will be a song, Tzahali Koylech, cry at, raise forth your voice, Bas, the daughter of Galim, the daughter of Sarah Imenu. In other words, our survival in Galus is very much dependent on the fact that we resist intermarriage. We resist the temptation of the Gili Arayas, the element of Gili Arayas. And of course, we all know that, unfortunately, the 70% intermarriage rate in the United States, but the fact that it's 30%, that's not, that is what saves Klal Yisrael. Jewish continuity depends upon a Geder in Arayos, and the Zohar HaKadosh very cleverly says that the song that Klal Yisrael will sing when Mashiach comes will be attributed by and large to the Midah that Sarah Imenu injected into Klal Yisrael, the koyach to be oimed in the Nesoyin of Arayos, which is alluded to here in Shir Hashim, the end of Perek Dalet of gal no'ol, which the Medrash says is all part of this, these two expressions, gan no'ol achosichala, gal no'ol. Who is this? Who is this theme that your garden that may not be penetrated, and you're like a fountain which is shut, or even better, according to the Parish of Rashi, you're a gate. A woman's erva, she puts a gate against her erva. She is a closed gate. We are referring to Sara Inenu, who taught Klal Yisrael, who was Moser Nefesh when she was taken, abducted by Paro in Mitzrayim, to be a Gan Na'ol and a Gal Na'ol. Okay, and if on her merit, we're going to be Zoche to Tzahali Koylech Bas Galim, the daughter of Sara Imenu. Okay, there's another very beautiful drush. It's a beautiful drush. We know that Gan is a garden, and first of all, we know that there are Gan Parshios. The Zohar says. The Zohar says that in the Torah there are 53 Parshios in the Torah. So going off the track a little bit, just elaborate. There are 53 parshios in the Torah, but if you will take a chumash, you will discover there are really 54. So it's a very big mystery. What exactly does the Targum mean when the Targum says there are 53 gan parshios when there are 54? So there are many answers. One answer is that we don't take into consideration, don't calculate v'zoy sabracha, because v'zoy sabracha is not laid on Shabbos. Others say there are certain parashios like Mitzav Vayelech. Mitzav Vayelech is really one parasha. Some want to say that Truma Tetzaveh is really one parasha. It's just that we lay in half Truma 1 week and Tetzaveh the next week, because since Moshe Rabbeinu said Mocheinina Mitzifrach Asher Kosofta, in order that there should be a parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, so we break up the Truma Tetzaveh into two parashios. Okay, so there is a 53 parashas. Okay, but now that's not the idea I want to talk about. But there's another interesting idea that the Toichecha in Parashas Kisavo has exactly 53 psukim. There are 53 psukim in the Toichecha, and we have a tradition, a legend, that the Toichecha is really all mole bracha. It's just that we do not know how to interpret the psukim, to put the commas and the periods and emphasis in the right place in order to see the bracha that is to be found in the Toichecha. And there used to be a minhag, it's not too common today, but it used to be that Chassidim, the week that they would go to visit their Rebbe, would be on Parashas during the Toichecha, Bechukosai and Kisavo. And the custom was that the Rebbe would lane the Toichecha, and his laning of the Toichecha would be Mahapech Klala Libracha. This is a part of Chassidus. Koyach of Chassidus is the Rebbe has the Koyach to Mahapech Klala Libracha, and Bedafka you would go to the Rebbe for Parashas Kisavo to hear him laying the Psukim to be Mahapech, the Koyach, the Klala Libracha. There are many examples of it. You take a Pasuk of the Toichecha and you can really see that deep down in the Pasuk there are big brachas, but it's hard for us to decipher. This pasuk al derech drush is a bakasha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal the brachas in the Toichecha. Gan no'ol achosikala. The Torah here is being called the achosikala. Torah is called my sister the kala. It's the kala of Klal Yisrael. And we're saying the Toichecha that is found in Achosikala, you're a gan. There are 53 psukim that are na'ul, that are sealed. We do not see al derech pshat the bracha. And what we do is gal comes from the word giloy. It's a bakasha. We beg of you, Hashem, reveal. Gal no'ul, reveal the secrets, reveal what is hidden. Mayon chosum, what is in the Torah is a mayon, a hoi called sami l'chul mayim. Gal no'ul, mayon chosum. Hashem, please reveal what is closed. What is closed and what is hidden in this sealed fountain. It's a beautiful Jewish story of time. Gal no'ul achosichala, the Torah HaKadosha that has within it 53 psukim is not all. It's sealed to see the hidden blessings. If only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be gal, open up our eyes, reveal what is not all. Mayon chosum in this sealed fountain. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says Shelochayich Pardes Shimonim. Shelochayich means your offshoots. Your offshoots are like a orchard of pomegranates. Im pri migodim, with delightful fruit. Migodim means precious, delicious fruit. Kiforim im nirodim. Now these are names of spices. I have no idea what these are. Maybe Nerd is a famous thing called Nerd, and it's over here something called Kifarim, it's the name of a spice. So we have over here in this pasuk really four different items. Pardes, an orchard of pomegranates. We have Prim Begodim, a general term of fruit, of precious fruits, with Nerod Kifarim and Nerodim. And what does all of this allude to? So let's first see the Mitzvah's pasuk Yud Gimel. Shelochayich, hine lefi ma'asecha ha'hagunim, based according to your proper your ma'asim, your deeds which are fitting, u'shmiras hatznius, and the fact that you guard yourself with a mid of tznius, muftachani b'choch, I have faith in you sheyu shelochayich pardes rimonim. You know, here's a very beautiful idea in saying that a woman's the baracha that a woman will have in having good children is dependent upon the mid of tznius that she displays, that she conducts herself with. Rotsu loymar pri vitnecha. This shelochayich means your offshoots, meaning your children, your fruit. Pri vitnecha, the fruit of your womb, hamispashtim v'nishlochim mimcha, which spread forth and come are sent forth from within you. Yiyu melei chochmas, they will be filled with wisdom, like kirimoin hamoyal gargarim, just like a pomegranate is filled with many seeds. Im primigodim, in addition to the seeds which are all of the chochma, there will be also fruit, delicious fruit. Gam yiyu bnei midos tovas, the migodim is a code word for midos, good character. Kipri mishubach u'mu'ula b'harbi mine shevach, like a fruit that's praised, that's very high quality, with all different forms of praise. B'tam u'v'yoyfi yichodoyim, with flavor, with beauty, and what is similar. And the last part of the pasuk is kiforim im nirodim, piersum shemoysum, reputation. T'cheser shem toiv oile al gabehem. Nispashet limrochoik kireach kiforim, just like the fragrance of this spice called kiforim im nirodim, and the other spice called nerd. Shehar kova hahi, so the Mitzvah says that the reason why the pasuk selected these two together is to teach you, to give you insight, that these two together are unbelievable. Each one alone may be good, but when you combine the spice called kifarim together with the spice called nerd, it produces an outstanding fragrance. Himala rech sharkova hahimala rech ore, that's sweet vinoidif lumrachok, and the fragrance spreads to a very far distance. Vanim shulhu lachodim hamashal, you don't need over here a mashal, because the mashal is the nimshal. So basically what is over here, this pasuk according to the previous pasuk you give over here is a continuation of the previous pasuk, pasuk Yibes, and it's telling you the reward that comes from being oisig, being noig in snius. If you will be a gan no'ul, if you will be a gal no'ol and a mayin chasum, all of these midos, you will merit to have the best children possible. They'll be shalachayich, your children will be a pardes shimayim, a pomegranate has seeds, the seeds represent chochma. And why is it chochma? Because it's on the inside. Chochma is something which is hidden. On the outside, the pomegranate is not very appealing. The outside shell and the outside, the flesh, is not edible. There's very little value in the pomegranate on the outside. The whole value of the pomegranate are the seeds. So the seeds represent, according to them, this chachma, because chachma is on the inside of a person, yeah?
Possible that the conform is what they have today, capers?
Could that be capers? Could be, I have no idea. Could be.
Capers.
Could be. So this is the rimoinim, this is the chachma. In pri migodim means midois toivais.
And this is a famous pri migodim.
The pre-migodim, of course, right, of course. The pre-migodim, of course. The perishim, of course. And then kifarim im nirodim is pirsum. That the chachma combined with midos toivas will lead to pirsum shmoi, the keser shem toiv, oile al gabeyim. What's the advantage of having good reputation while you're in the newspaper? Is that the whole advantage? Covered? There's no purpose of covered. The purpose is, the goal is, you have influence. If you have a good reputation and you're shmoi chalik, if you say something, people pay attention. If you want to change the world and you make a statement, people will pay attention and you will have opportunity to make a difference in this world. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi says shulachayich. What is shulachayich? Eretz yivesha kuya beis hashlochin. Shulachayich means, it means a land that is irrigated, a land of irrigation. V'tzorich la'ashkoyis tamid, you have to continuously water the land. V'stei beis habal. Stei beis habal is a field which is watered by the rain. Yofe heimeno is much better, because the stei beis habal does not need the slave labor that is necessary for the beis hashlochen. Eretz Mitzrayim was one big land of stei beis hashlochen. Everything there was through irrigation. Eretz Yisrael is a land that only is watered through rainwater. It's much better. You're not dependent. You don't need to be a slave to the earth. On the other hand, you're fully dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. In Mitzrayim, they didn't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they felt they didn't need Him. In order to water the land, the Nile continues to flow with waters. So all they had to do was just engage in slave labor to water the land. Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't need you. We can take care of ourselves. We have the Nile. We'll irrigate the field. It's not necessary to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, I'm taking you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. I'm bringing you to Eretz Yisrael, because there it's a different type of land. There is no irrigation. There the land is watered by the rain, and therefore you don't have to do any work. But it doesn't always rain. It's only going to rain if you deserve that it should rain. If you are mispalel that it should rain, it's a land of spirituality. Okay, so here it's much. Now here, what is the pasuk over here saying? Now that we know this hakdam, that the bunzil over here shulachayich, we have a novel interpretation according to Rashi that it refers to in a land that is of irrigation. The kankilas yovesh shulachayich, and here the pasuk is praising the dry, arid land that needs irrigation, to say as follows: even the reikonim, even the members of Klal Yisrael, who are on the lowest level, who are not knowledgeable, are not very spiritual, yet even they deserve praise. Harehein milein kol tov kipardes, reminding they're filled with all blessing like an orchard full of pomegranates. V'ze al shem ketanim shebi Yisrael, referring over here to the ketanim shebi Yisrael, the people in Klal Yisrael who are on the lowest spiritual level. Nartivim ma'asehem, their good deeds are dripping. They're dripping with good deeds. Toivim kipardes rimoinim. And the next part of the pasuk says, kifodim im nirodim, mine besamim heim, they're full of fragrances. Period. Okay, so we hear the basic theme over here, according to Rashi, very different than the Mitzudos, is we're referring over here, shulachayich, the lowest level. Even the lowest level of Klal Yisrael, their Malayan mitzvahs, kerimon, like we had before, Rakoseich was your temple. Your temple is like a slice of a pomegranate, which Chazal darshan, afilu reikonim shabeich malei mitzvahs kerimon. This pasuk, according to Rashi, is pretty much doing exactly the same thing. Shalachayich, referring to the lowest level, the lowest level of Klal Yisrael, like a stay, hashlochin, an irrigation field. It's also like a paradise rimoinim. Now let's see the targum on pasuk Yud Gimel. The ulei mayich. Okay, so here we refer to your children. Molyon pikoidin hach rimoinim. They are filled with mitzvos like pomegranates. Now notice over here he's not saying anything negative. The targum is not negative. It just seems to be saying over here is that the ulumayich means your children, because they are what come forth out of your womb. Just like what the Mitzudos David said. Nothing negative. We're not talking about people on a low spiritual level. We're talking about children. They are like pomegranates. They're filled with mitzvos. V'rochamin lin shehoin. And they love their wives. This is very, very fascinating. They are devoted to their wives. That's what it means over here. In pre, the yolden benin tzadikin chavosoin, and they give birth to children just like tzadikim, just like themselves. Verechehoin, and their fragrance misilus compared, hachei just like kivus monin tovin diginto the Eden. Again, he goes back to Gan Eden. Goes back to Gan Eden, even though it does not make any mention over here of Gan Eden. Okay, but it says that their fragrance is delicious like the fruits of Gan Eden. Kifoirin im Rashkin, he translates the two different types of spices. So Shulachaycha, the children, they are Molei Mitzvahs like a Rimoin. They're loyal to their spouses, to their wives, and they produce fruit. They produce children who are tzaddikim, which have the fragrance of Gan Eden, filled with kifarim im nirodim. Obviously, the Targum added a lot of words here that are not obvious in the pasuk. Okay, let me just see if any. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. I didn't mark anything down. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Now we list a whole list of different psalmim. We have Nerd and we have Charkoim. Okay, that was really in the preview. That was really in the Nerd was Nirodim. I guess Nirodim is not the same, even though they have the same Shirish. I don't know because why would it be repeated? Kifarim im Nerodim. Maybe that's what the Targum wanted to say, that when you have Kifarim, there's one spice when you add Nerd to Kifarim. When the Nerd enhances the Kifarim, it produces one fragrance. And now we have it just alone. Nerd alone is also good. We have Charkoim, we have Koneh, we have the Kinamoin, im Kol Atzeh Levoina. All different types of trees of Levoina, different spices of Levoina. We have more. Va'ahalois, and we have im roshay v'sim, all other types of exalted spices. Let's see the mesudos pasuk yud dalid ner v'chakoyim rotzolaymar pirsum shavachem. Now he's the mesudos l'shitasa. He's coming to elaborate upon your fabulous reputation. Rotzolaymar pirsum shavachem yeh mois misoyf moisif ahalich l'spashet min rochok rav. Your reputation will continue to increase and spread like Nerd spreads to a very great distance. Imkol min atzei levoina umor ve'ahalois, together with all different types of spices of the levoina and mor ve'ahalois. Imkol meitiv min ebisam, all the best types of besamim. Sharkova gedoyle kezos ein lamala mimena bidavar ha'alos reach toiva ve'orv adle mechok. There's no better winning combination than these different spices that spread to a great distance. And the nimshal is identical to the mashal fragrance, that your good reputation will spread to the entire world. And the farshim point out, before we go further, that there are exactly 11 different items, ingredients listed here. Let's try to figure them out. The previous pasuk said kifarim im nirodim, that's 2. Nered is 3, Charkoim is 4, Kone is 5, Kinamoin is 6, Atzei Levoina is 7, Mor is 8, Ahalois is 9, Imroshe Bisamim is 10, and then if we go back to previous pasuk, I left out 1, is the Pardes Rimoinim. Okay, the Pardes Rimoinim, the only thing though is, what about, once I'm counting the Pardes, what about the Primigodim? Okay, so I don't know, really, I'm not really sure how they get 11. Rashi b'samim, they get 11, there's really more, really it's more like 13, right? If you count, and I think there is another in Medrash that says that they're conflicting Midrashim. If I'm not mistaken, one says there are 13, and they connect the 13 different items listed here to the 13 different things that were donated for the Mishkan. In Parshas Truma, and it was in the first Rashi in Parashas Truma, Rashi says, if you'll make a calculation, you'll see there are exactly 13 different items that were donated for the Mishkan. And the Farshim there ask a question, what do you mean 13? Count what it says in the Pasuk, you'll discover there are 15. So there's a lot of commentary to explain what exactly Rashi means, but Rashi says there are 13. Rashi is drawing from the Chazal. If you read this Pasuk more precise, like we just listened to it one more time, there are exactly 13. There's Pardes Rimoinim, pomegranates, 1. Primigodim is 2. Let's see if it comes works out. Kifarim, 3. Nirodim is 4. Nered is 5. Charkoim is 6. Kone is 7. Kinamon is 8. Kolatze Levaina is 9. Mor is 10. Ahalois is 11. Roshei Bissamim is 12. So we're still off by 1. So where do we go wrong? You want to say one is Lashon Rabim?
Yeah.
What's Barabim? Well, Rosh, once you're going to say...
And Ner.
What?
You had both Neradim and Ner.
So then that takes it down to 11. So you're going to delete one of the Nerds, you go down to 11. How do you go off from 12 to 13? Let's say we want to go in that direction. We have Rosh, Bissamim is Lashon Rabim. Atzeh Levon is Lashon Rabim. And we have the pre-Negadim is also Beloshen Rabim. So I don't know how you get, you get 13. But that's what I saw. I saw over here that there are different ways to make the calculation. 13, the 13 items listed in the Mishkan, or 11. Now, why 11? What's the significance? Corresponding to the 11th Samemonim in the Ketores. The 11th Samemonim in the Ketores. And some also want to say that refers to the 11 Shvatim, not including Binyamin, because Binyamin was in the league by himself. Something, the only time you need fragrance is to cover up something that's either foul or something that's just dull. If something is dull, it needs to be enhanced with some fragrance. But if something is naturally delicious, it's naturally good, you don't need fragrance. Binyamin was in the league to himself. Binyamin did not participate with the brothers in the chait of Mechiras Yosef. Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. And for those two reasons, Binyamin, that's why the Beis Hamikdash is built, the Kodesh HaKadosh is built in the chelik of Binyamin, Ubein Kesef of Shochein, because he was naturally good. He was Eretz Yisrael, was not the Chedim Mechiras Yosef, he was naturally good. So these Besamim, these 11 Besamim, correspond to the 11 Shvatim, which needs some embellishment, some spicing up. But Binyamin is not included in the list that we created over here. Okay, now there is no Rashi in this pasuk, if I'm not mistaken, in the enumeration of different spices. There is no. Let's see the Targum pasuk Gidalid. The Targum says he just lists them. He just lists all them: Rashak, Umarika, Ukinevusma, Vikinamoin. In kol kesei levant, all the different woods of the levaina, mera dochya is mar. That's Mordechai in Yana de Yoma. Mordechai in the Torah Minayin, mar duar is mare dachya. That's same thing over here. The axel, now ahalois is called axel, il va'a with ton u alu avos. So what's that? The axel ilova, name of the spice. Ton aluz. I don't know what that means over here. The atse ohalois. The wood of the axel means a piece of wood. Ilva o. Ton means with. Aluza o. I don't know. He's not translating over here. He's not translating over here. What it means over here. Okay, whatever it means over here, it means over here all the different types of spices. Okay, let's go to okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Tes Vav. Mayon Ganim, a fountain of garden. Be'er Mayim Chaim. Yeah.
Aloe.
That's the ahalos.
That's axil.
That's ahalos. More is more.
Right. They do translate that ahalos as aloe. Aloe. Okay.
More, but look, more dachia. More is more dachia. After more comes the ahalos. Alois the axel ilvaoton alu avos. He's using four words to translate the word ahalois. Axel 1, ilvaos 2, ton, aluazo. And over here in the translation, he just says atse ahalois in my translation. So somehow those four words translate ahalois. So maybe ahalos, that's why it was part of the calculation. We didn't know where to get 13. Maybe over here the ahalos really is a combination of two. Whatever this is, I don't know. Im kol rashay besamim, im kol mini bus monin. All right. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, Mayim ganim be'er mayim chayim, you my bride, my klal Yisrael. You are like a fountain of a garden. Be'er, you are like a be'er mayim chayim. There's a difference between a mayan and a be'er. A mayan is a natural body of water, and a be'er is a collection of water, where the water collects. But it's a be'er mayim chayim. They're not exactly, the exact difference I don't know, but they're different. A mayan is a fountain, and here we have a be'er mayim chayim.
Be'er is a well.
It's getting ready for Pesach, so it's, you know, mayim chayim. You know, they don't have it anymore. Mayim chayim, Coca Cola. They still do. Coca Cola took over mayim chayim. They bought them out. Mayim chayim gave Coca Cola the secret formula. Be'er mayim chayim benoizlem min levanon, and it flows down from the levanon. Let's see the mitzudos David. Pasek tesvav. Mayon ganim. Retzolema bedinhu shayu hashlichus pardes shimoinim bedinhu. It's only proper that the pardes shimoinim should send forth the best. It's only natural that the pardes shimoinim should have the best spice, be accompanied by the best spices. Why? Ki amayin hamashkes haganim hu be'er shel mayim chayim mukuf mechitzas. The secret is the nourishment. In order for a pardes to produce high quality food, it has to have a good, healthy source of water. The quality of the water is essential in the production of quality fruit and fragrance. V'loy megula, and the mayim chayim, the spring is not megula l'shiva boy avok v'af roris. In order to attract into its vicinity dust and specks of garbage. Furthermore, it's not just ordinary water. This is mineral water. This is the best of the best. It flows down from the Levanon. They're sweet. And therefore, it's only proper that they should be, that the pardes should send forth the best. Now here's a beautiful mitzudos. Since according to the mitzudos over here, when it says shalachayich, we're referring to the children. Your children are going to be full of chachma. Three things: the chachma, midos tovos, and good reputation. You know why that's going to happen? Lefi she'atu mikor machat saftan, because you, my klal Yisrael, the avos we're referring to here in the beginning of the pasuk, you are the source, the quarry. You're where they all come from. The Haguna at Lahoyle told us, Kayla, you are fitting to produce such high quality offspring. Since the source, the quarry of Klal Yisrael comes from the Ovos Nimaos, Kishain and Vitzadikim, Ruim, Hatholodos, Lihistamos, El Ovos, it's only fitting that the children be similar to their parents. A very beautiful Maim Chazal. That the Mayan Ganim, the water of the Ganim, Be'er Mayim Chayim, it's so the Metzulis is one of the ones I want to point out. The Mayim Ganim is that the Ganim of a garden has a connotation, is that the spring is guarded. It's not out in the open and exposed for the entire world. It's sealed on, it's surrounded on sides, so knowing that they will not attract any impurities. It's the Be'er Mayim Chayim, and that's why Vinozim Levanon comes from Levanon, from the place that's Lavan, that's pure. Levanon is up north, where all of the delicacies of the world are to be found. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Tezvav, Mayim Ganim calls them Musaf al Shilochach. This Pasuk is going back to Shilochayich, U'mikalson Kimayim Hamashke Oysam, and we're praising them like a fountain that waters them. V'hadugmuch al Shein Tzvilois Toyar Shebenois Yisrael Toivles. So here we have a very interesting Rashi that he's referring over here to the fact that the women, the reason why the women are zeichet to have children that are good is because of the merit of Tzvilas Noshim. They go to mikvah. Because the Noshim are very makbid on going to mikvah and doing everything Kedas Tuchadin, Taharas Yisrael, that is why And that's the Mayim. The Mayim, Ganim, the gardens, Ber Mayim Chayim, the Toya Shebez Shol to the Toivos, the Gondozim and Alvonon, Nimokum Nikios, Be'ein Achiras Tit. There is no darkness, Lvonon itaiges to be white. The mikvos are clean mikvos. There is no mud in the mikvah when you put your feet together and causes the tit to rise. Now, is there such thing in halacha that the mikvah has to be clean? Is there such a halachic requirement?
Depends how dirty.
If it's too dirty, it's not even water. It's not water. But it appears, maybe what appears is that there is a chavivos for the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is chaviv, then the mikvah is going to be state of the art. If the mitzvah is not chaviv, so then no one really cares. So then the mikvah falls into a state of disrepair. The fact that it's perfectly clean is an indication there's a chavivus for the mitzvah. And that chavivus enhances the fact that Klal Yisrael is zeicha to have beautiful children and midos and Torah and chokhmah and a good, fine reputation. Okay, so before we go further, I was reminded of a few ideas that I forgot to mention along these lines. Just go back for one moment to the pasuk of Pasuk Yud Beis. We started today. Gan Ulu Achusicha Lagal Ulu Mayin Chasum. So we mentioned this was the meaning of tznius of the imal of the nashim and the zechardim. But also, it's a code that it also refers to a husband. One of the midrashim makes mention that a woman often is off limits to her husband during the time that she is a nida, and this here is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising. That gan no'ul achosi chala, at a time when you achosi chala, you are a nida, you are not in the state of tara, you are nizer, you're a gan no'ul. To who? Not like the Mitzudas and Rashi and the Targum that you're off limits to the Goyim. You're off limits to the Goyim and to men that are not your husbands. That's a given. Something more significant. Even to your husbands, you are locked off. You are sealed. You are put away because not at all points in time are you permitted to be with your husband. You are a garden. That is no'ul. You are a gal. You are a gate. That is no'ul to your husband. You are a mayon chosum. You are a fountain that is locked away. Yeah.
The women of the midbar, how do they become part of their husband?
Okay, interesting. Okay, another idea that just came to mind, I remember, is that when we talk about Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shalachach Pardes Rimonim, a Rimon is a very complex fruit. The Rimon Mitzad Echad represents Molin Mitzvah's Kerimon. It's a fruit where the Psoilas, where the item that normally is considered to be a waste product, is the food. Most fruits, like you mentioned last week, the apple seeds are poisonous, cyanide. But the pomegranate, the seed is the fruit. This is the most valuable part. But then on the other hand, they're called reikonim. Chazal are not very. They're not very. It's not a very good fruit to take pride in, because a pomegranate has no. What's normally good about a fruit. And this particular fruit has no value. So it's very nice you make out of a chasar and a maila. But it's important that the ikar should be the ikar also. A pomegranate, the flesh and the shell are not edible. That's a very big chasaron. Because the purpose of fruit is to eat the flesh of the fruit. So it's not necessarily a maila. On Rosh Hashanah, we're very humble. We say, Ribbono shel Olam, we're not taking pride in our mitzvos. We eat pomegranates on Rosh Hashanah. We make ourselves into nothings. But when you want to talk about the praise of Klal Yisrael, that's not always a milah. So here the Pasuk says, yeah, we were combining everything together. You have the milahs of the Rimonim, the seeds of the Rimonim, because there's no other food whose seeds are edible. Plus, You have the pre-migodim. You have the best fruits. It's like a custom-made fruit. I'm going to give you the flesh, the meat of a fruit that's delicious, the best fruits. But those fruits don't have, the seeds are not edible. And you know what else I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you fragrance. Because you're not going to find a fruit that has all of the myelois together. In this world, there's no such thing as having it all. Everything is a trade-off. You have myelos here, you're going to be lacking somewhere else. You're going to have what you're lacking over here. That's the way the world is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give everyone Torah Gedulah B'Makom Echad. Hashem did not give everyone everything. Even an esrog. An esrog is beautiful to the eye, with beautiful fragrance. And there's meat. I guess it's edible. You can make something out of the meat, but the seeds are not edible. Here, what we're doing over here is we are making genetically altering the best the world has to offer. Today, I think this is always in the news. They really do this. They alter the genes of embryos to
make boys girls.
Who knows? All these things take away diseases. Soon they're going to start doing. What do you want him to be? I want him to be a superstar. I want him to be a movie star. I want my son to be a baseball player. So you can right away alter this. They're starting to do this, to play around with the genes in order to enhance certain qualities. But that's what the pasuk here is doing, is taking the best that this world has to offer, and we're custom making a new fruit. We're taking the rimoinim, which has the uniqueness that the seeds are edible. We're taking the flesh, the delicious taste of the pre-migodim, and we're taking the fragrance of various spices, because each one of these things, they're all mutually exclusive. The rimoinim has no flesh, the rimoinim has no fragrance, the pre-migodim has no seeds, the seeds are not edible, and the pre-migodim do not necessarily have a good fragrance, and the things that have the good fragrances are not edible. Their seeds are no good, and their meat is no good. But what we're doing over here in Pasuk Yudim is we're combining all three together. The Klal Yisrael has the mildness of the seeds, the mildness of the meat, and the mildness of the fragrance. Okay, now, when you come over here to Pasuk Yud, so we have just to go do the Targum, and we'll finish the Targum Pasuk Tes Vav. The Targum says the Maya de Shiloch. There's a lot of good Torah on this. Let's see if we can just finish over here. The Maya de Shiloyach. Here, the Pasuk is focusing very specifically, according to the Targum, on the Shiloyach. The Shiloyach was a stream that flowed in the base. It came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it flows in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash. So Midabrim Biniach, Midabrim means it flows. Midabrim means it flows very gently. Imoisar Mayin Dinogdin Min Levoina, from other waters that flow down from the Levoina. We have two different springs. The Mayin Ganim is the water of the Shiloyach, with other springs that are flowing from the Shiloyach. La Ashkoh Yosara, the Yisrael, and these springs, they water the entire Eretz Yisrael. Begin the Inun Oskin Bipiskami Araisa. In what merit? In what merit does Klal Yisrael deserve that they should be watered by the spring of the Shiloyach and by the other waters? In the merit of their Isaac and the laws of the Torah. Dim Silin Libera Dimayin Chaim. The Torah is compared to a Be'er Mayim Chaim. And the Zuchus, now he's really going off the topic, and the Zuchus of Nisachamayim that takes place on Sukkos, Dim Naskin Al Mad Becha, the base Makdisha, which is poured upon the Mizbech in the base of Migdash, the Mispinei Birushalayim, the Miskirei Livono, that is called Livonon. So we go back to the Pasuk, it says over here we have the Mayim Ganim, we have the Shiloyach, and we have other forms of water, other in addition to the Shiloh, other springs, which water Eretz Yisrael, Be'er Mayim Chaim, in the Zuchus of being Oisek in the Piskamei Araisa, which is called Mayim Chaim, the Noizlim, and this water that flows from the Shiloyach is poured on Min Livonon, is poured, he's translating here min to mean upon. Even though min means from, but he's translating to mean min upon the Mizbeach, which is the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, which is called the item which whitens the sins of Klal Yisrael, Meloshon Lavon. Now, this over here is coming. This is really touching upon the theme of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What's very unique about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is it is one of the only areas in Chazal where we find that Noshim played a very major role. The Noshim were always busy with the Noshim when it came to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Where should the Noshim stand? Should they first they stand? They were outside. Then they were inside. And then they made the Tikkun Gadol, they put them upstairs. Right? If you would ask the people today, what should we do with the Noshim? We're outside, inside? Let them stay home. They would say, who needs them? Stay home. What are they coming over here for? Why was there an obsession that the Noshim should participate in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So the Farsha says something very, very deep. Why is it called the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? It's not the simcha, it's not the drawing of the water. The simcha was the nisach, is the pouring of the water. The pouring of the water on the mizbech, that was what the halacha of Moshe Sinai. What's the she'ev, the drawing of the water? The she'ev is only a heksha mitzvah. It's only a preparation. Okay, so this is an idea, is that, okay, not everyone wants to, this is a charedi idea, is that the noshim, ruba de ruba, their avoida is in heksha mitzvah. They are the enablers. The key word today in the Haredi world is they are the enablers. That's the favorite word. If not for the Noshim, then there's nothing. They are the enablers. They say the men, okay, they can do the mitzvahs. Noshim men have more mitzvahs than men. Baruch atah Hashem ki melechom shloya sani isha. Men have more mitzvahs than Noshim. But Noshim are the foundation of everything the men can accomplish. They are the enablers. Is a code word for heksha mitzvah. The nela, a simcha, whose entire essence is a simcha of heksha mitzvah, the she'iva, simcha space ha-she'iva, this is the essence of Noshim. Noshim is, they're enablers. The nela, that's why it's their mitzvah. They have a right to be there just as much as the men. And that's why we find the Chazal Masechta Sukkah, they're completely busy. Torud, where would be the ideal location for women to stand to participate in this mitzvah? Lamal, Lamata, inside, outside, back and forth. There was a whole going on for many years until they made the Tikkun Gadol where the women were on top and the men were on the bottom and they observed. That's what it alludes to. Alludes over here is the mitzvah over here, v'noizdim, referring over here to the mitzvah of Nisach Lam. Okay, we'll stop here. We have only one more pasuk left for this parak, and it's halfway through Shir HaShirim.